Right, we're going to start here at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. We're going to start right after the Mishnah where the Gemara begins. And now, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Shmuel Breid Rabba Bar Chano, Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda. So these three individuals, Tanu Shvuot Bei Rabba. They were learning Masechet Shvuot at the base medrash of Rabba. And then, Pago Behu Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana bumps into them, and Amar Lahu. And then he asks them this question. And this question is going to occupy us for the first half of the daf today, which is, Hezid b'shvata pikadon. If someone intentionally takes a shvata pikadon, but also v'hitrubo, the edim who are there warn him beforehand, before you take this shvua of shvata pikadon, we want you to know that if you do take this, you're going to be over, you're going to be in violation of the restriction of the Torah to take such a shvua, take such a false shvua. Mahu, what's the din? Kevon de chidushu, because shvat ha-pikadon is an exceptional case. The bechola Torah lo ashkachan mezid de mighty korban. Throughout the Torah, we don't find an instance where somebody does something intentionally and still brings a korban. Now, that's not exactly true, this statement of the Gemara or the statement of Kahano, because there are four instances where you do bring a korban for mezid. Rashi points it out, Tosfot points it out here, which is, number one is our case of shvat ha-pikadon. It's also true of shvat ha-idut, which we know because we just learned that in the previous perek. It's also true of a nazir shenitma, even if he was nitma b'mezid, he still brings the karbonota nazir, and is or the chatat that's also involved with nazir tameh. And the other one is by a shivcha, or bala shivcha, or shivcha harufa, that also there the din of korban comes by mezid. So all of these four instances are cases where you do have this chiddush. But it is somewhat unique in that its zadon has a ability to get kapara through a korban that's normally associated with a shogeg. So that is a chiddush in the Torah. It's not unique to this case, but it is unique to these couple of cases where we do have such a ability to be mechaper on a mezid through a korban. If you look at the Rashi, in the second line down in Rashi, he says, "V'gavi shvuat ha'idut." How come the Gemara did not pose the same question by shvuat ha'idut? Afgav dechayev nami mezid kishogeg. Has the same problem, mezid kishogeg by shvuat ha'idut. And so why is the Gemara only posing this question when it comes to shvuat ha'pikadon and not by shvuat ha'idut? You can never give full-fledged hatra'ah when it's talking about shvuat ha'idut. By shvuat ha'idut, the only people who possess the information about whether they have the edut or don't have the edut are the edim themselves. So you can never warn them, you can never give them hatra'ah, because we don't know for certain that they are lying about the fact that they do have a dut or they don't have a dut. Now then, by shvuat ha-pikadon, someone could have witnessed the transaction, could have witnessed the event, or could see the pikadon in the possession of this individual, and therefore they can give hatra'ah, they can give this warning unequivocally, and not have the safek. Now, that's the way Rashi learns. That's why Rashi says that this question is unique to shvuat ha-pikadon. Tosos rejects this idea of Rashi because where do we ever find that? The question of hatra'ah is not about the giver of the hatra'ah. The giver of the hatra'ah can be in doubt of whether it's the violation. The only thing we need is the one who's being warned to know that they're doing something wrong. And by shvuat ha'edut, the edim know whether they know the edut or they don't know the edut. That's not relevant to us. If you warn them and they know edut, then they've done it on b'mezid. So why is it relevant? Why does it matter whether the people who are being matred, the people who are warning, right, know or don't know whether they're telling the truth or not? So now, Tosfos says, okay, so why didn't they ask this question in Shvat Ha'idut? And he says, V'ad lo bayi hach bayi b'shvat ha'idut, b'shem di'ev shal le'ida le'olam im he mezidim. By Shvat Ha'idut, we can never know if they really mezidim. She'cholim namar shechachnu. They can always just say, we forgot. Right, mean that we can never. There's no objective test by shvuat ha'edut to know whether someone is a mezid or not a mezid. Unless they admit to it, we don't know that they're mezidin. That's not true by shvuat ha'pikadon. By shvuat ha'pikadon, you can actually come up, you can have an instance of mezid that can be seen by an outside party, that objectively could be determined by an outside party. And therefore, the Gemara asks this question by shvuat ha'pikadon and not by shvuat ha'edut. And again, we'll see, this is why Shvat HaPikadon, the Gemara is focusing on it rather than the other instances where we have Mezid and a Korban is brought. So now, the Gemara says, based on this, V'hachamayti Korban, loshna atrube, loshna lo atrube. It doesn't matter whether they got a warning or didn't get a warning. Since b'mezid you bring a Korban, that's already a Chiddush, where it doesn't matter if there's Hatra or no Hatra. O Dilma, that's only true when you do it b'mezid and there's no hatra'ah, then you bring a korban. On the other hand, if there is hatra'ah, milke loki, korban lo maiti. you get a malkot because you did a bemezid and you had a warning. Therefore, you will get the malkot and no karban. Oh, there's a third possibility. Dilma hava ha abdino. But bemezid, you'll get both. I mean, so you have three possibilities of what will happen to an individual who gets hatra'ah when he is taking shvat ha'pigadon bemezid. He knows intentionally, he's being warned that they're doing it intentionally, and despite that fact, he goes ahead and takes the shvat ha'pigadon. One possibility is he brings a korban. That's what we said. Mezid kishogeg means that he brings the korban because he's a mezid over here. The other possibility is that he gets malkot and not korban. Korban's only relevant when there's no hatra'ah. But once there's hatra'ah, then we move to Malkot, and there's no longer Korban. The last possibility is that both, your Chayav, both a Korban and the Malkot in the case of Mezid. So this is the question that Rav Kahana posed to these three individuals who had been learning Shvod in Bei Rabbah. He posed the question to them, and now they're going to try to answer the query that he had. Amalei, Tanina, we have a Braisa. Chamura Hemeno Shvuat HaPikadon. That Shvuat HaPikadon is more chamor, right, than the shvuat ha'edut, shechayavin azdona makot, val shigigata asham bekesef shkalim. Because if you do it intentionally, you'll get makot, you'll get malkot, v'hal shigigata, whether if you do it unintentionally, then you bring an asham bekesef shkalim. Now, mid the kamarle, it says over here, azdona makot, that when you do it intentionally, you get makot, michlal, da'atrupe. The only way you could get malkot is if there is hatra here. Vikamar. And the Braisa says, makot in korban lo. That's the Braisa says when you have a mezid case with hatra, has to be hatra that we're talking about here because you're getting malkot. And we see that the Braisa only suggests that you get malkot and no korban. So that should be the answer to his question. The only question is now, my chumrah. What's the chumrah? I mean that you're talking about different punishments. How can you speak about a chumrah? By shvuat ha'edut, both by mezid and shogeg, you'll bring a korban. By shvuat ha'pikadon, by mezid, with hatra, you'll get malkot, and by shogeg, you'll get a korban. So fine, by pikadon, you get malkot, by shvuat ha'edut, you get korban. Why is one a chumrah over the other? Why is the braisa saying that it's a chamura? So when it says, my chumrah, the nechile le'inche, the mighty korban, velo loke. People will prefer to bring a korban than to get malkot to be whipped. So that's what it means, chamura. The chumra is here by shvat ha'pikadon, you won't have the option to bring a korban, rather you'll be compelled to get malkot. And that's what the chumra is. So that's the answer, or this is the suggestion of an answer by these individuals to Rav Kehano. Alright, so now, Amarlu Rova Bar Iti. Rav Bar Iti says, Mantano zdon shvat ha'pikadon lo nitan l'chapara. This is a statement we just saw, right back on Daf Lamed Dalet, that we know that Rabbi Shimon, even though he has the gzeira shava of shvat ha'pikadon to shvat ha'edut, nevertheless, he still believes that by mezid, you don't bring a korban by shvat ha'pikadon. Why? Because he learns that out from Mi'ilah, from the comparison to Mi'ilah, and that comparison to Mi'ilah tells you that by mezid, you don't bring a korban. So who's the one who says that there is no such, or it's not sufficient to bring a korban by mezid, by shvat ha'pikadon? That's Rabbi Shimon. So the braita that you just quoted, maybe that's the position of Rabbi Shimon. Aval rabbonon korban nami maiti. According to Rabbanan, maybe you will also bring a korban, or maybe you'll only bring a korban. I mean, you quoted us a braita that reflects the position of Rabbi Shimon, or possibly reflects the position of Rabbi Shimon, and from that you have no proof, or you have no evidence to what the position of the Rabbanan is. So this is Rava Bar Iti's rejection of the answer to Rav Kahana by these three Amoraim. So Amalahu Rav Kahana. So then Rav Kahana himself spoke up and says, Bar mina dahahi. He says, first of all, even without the answer of Rav Bar Iti, that braita is no proof. Why? Da'ana taninala. I learnt this braita. V'hochi taninala. It was misquoted. The way you quoted the braita is misquoted. And I'm going to tell you now what the braita really says. It says, Echad zdona ve'echad shkigata asham bekesef shkalim. That's what the braita says. The braita says, whether it's mezid or shogeg, you bring a korban. Ah, if that's the case, my chumra. Then what's the difference between shvat ha'edut and shvat ha'pikadon? By shvat ha'pikadon, mezid and shogeg, you bring a korban. By shvat ha'edut, mezid or shogeg, you bring a korban. How can you call it there's a chumra by shvat ha'pikadon over shvat ha'edut? So the man said, this is the chumra. De'ilu hotom chatat batanka. Over there, you can make a chatat. There is no minimum price for a chatat. A danka is a ma'ah, which is like 1/6 of a dinar. I mean, it could be any amount of money. Any minimal amount of money is sufficient as long as you bring the animal that's required for the chatat. It's kisvah si'ira. V'hocha, as opposed to that, when it comes to pikadon, which is a requirement of asham, then it has to be bekesef shkalim. It has to be brought with 2 sela or 2 shekel kodesh. I mean that the value that has to be bought, there's a minimum value which you have to bring. And therefore, it is a chumrah. The chumrah is that the cost of the karban has a minimum standard, whereas that's not true by Shvat Ha'idut. Now, based on Rav Kahana's reading of the Braita, we have no proof anymore. Because Rav Kahana's reading of the Braita says that by Mezid and Shogeg, you bring a korban. So Gemara says, they say to him, or the response to Rav Kahana, Ligmar Mina. Well, now that you brought this down, why don't we have an answer to your question? The answer to your question is, by Mezid, by Shvata, Pikadon, what do? You bring a korban. So, that should answer your question. Rav Kahana says, that's not an answer to my question. Dilma lo atribe. How do you know that the Braita was talking about a case where there was hatra'ah? The Braita could be addressing a case where there is no hatra'ah. So again, I have no proof from this Braita as to what happens when there is hatra'ah in this case. We don't know. We don't know what it will be, or we don't know what the outcome will be when there is a warning. So lishnach rino, right? Another impossibility. Here's Tashma. Ein chayavin al shigigata. So that you're not chayav on shigigata. Mach hein chayavin al zdona. What are you chayav when you are doing on purpose? I mean, shigigata here is a shigigata greda, full-fledged shogeg, which we know by shvata pikadon. You don't bring anything. But what are you chayav al zdona when you do it intentionally? Asham bekesef shkalim. You bring a korban. So my lav b'da'atrube. So what's the circumstance in this breita? It must be the case where they warned him, and you see what's the punishment or what is the kapara that needs to be brought. It's simply a korban. So again, the response from Khan is, Hachanam Adalachirpe, how do you know? The Braita doesn't indicate. There's nothing in the Braita that compels us to say there was Hatra in this case. And since that's true, right, we could also say the Braita is Lo'atrape. And again, you don't have an answer to my question, Rav Kahana says. Tashma. Now we have another attempt at this, which is, Lo, Ima Mart Binazir Tameh. If you say Binazir Tameh, Shekein Lokeh. A Nazir Tameh that violates, a Nazir that goes ahead and intentionally becomes Tameh, he will get Malkot. Tumar b'shvata pikadon she'enu lokeh. By shvata pikadon, or will you say this by shvata pikadon, where you do not get Malkot? All right, now, Rashi says over here, he has no clue. Lo yadidan b'maykoi. I don't know where this bright is coming. I don't even know what it's speaking about. Right, lo yimamart. It's as if it started in the middle of some discussion. And he says, I have no idea where it comes from. Tosfos, on the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests it comes from a bright on the Sifri. But the bright on the Sifri is actually talking about Shvat Eidut and not Shvat HaPikadon. And it's also comparing them the opposite way. So if you're going to read it based on what Tosafot says, then you're going to have to say, first of all, we're going to change the Sifri to be Shvat HaPikadon and not Shvat HaEidut. And number two is you're going to actually have to change the Girsa of our Gemara to reverse the Limud over here. So you want to see it in the Tosafot. Tosafot has a Girsa that reverses this a little bit. In the end, it's not so important because what they're learning from the Braita is the difference between Shvat HaPikadon and the punishment by Mezid of a Nazir Tameh. By punishment by Nazir Tameh, you get Malkot. According to this Braita, when it comes to Shvat HaPikadon, you do not get Malkot. Now, let us dissect this. Midkamar Loke. Now, if you're going to suggest by Nazir Tameh he's getting Malkot, there's only one way you get Malkot, and that is Mechlal Da'atrube. There must be Hatra'ah. So you can't make the claim, like in the previous times that we quoted these Braitot, that this is a case of no Hatra'ah. Here, it's clear there is Hatra'ah, because otherwise you wouldn't end up in Malkot. Vikamar. And even though there's Hatra'ah, it says, Tomar b'shvata b'kadon, she'enu lokeh. It says, by shvata b'kadon, you do not get Malkot. So here we have a case of Hatra'ah, and we're talking about Shvat HaPikadon, and despite the fact that we have Hatra'ah, there is no Malkot over here. Aval, right? Tomar b'Shvat HaPikadon, she'enu lokeh, aval korban maiti. But he does bring a korban. So now, based on this suggestion over here, we have an answer to Rav Kahana's question. Rav Kahana's query is, what happens when you Hatra'ah b'Shvat HaPikadon b'Mezid? The answer, according to this Braita, is no Malkot, yes korban. So that's the answer. Now the Gemara says, not so fast. Why? My enolokeh. Let's say that enolokeh means not that you do not get malkot, but deino niftar be malkot. Malkot are not sufficient. Getting malkot is not enough. And therefore, what is he going to have to do? He's not only is he going to have to get Malkot, he's also going to have to bring the Korban. Possibility is the Brayta, when it says Eino Lokeh, means he's not solely Lokeh. Means that he's Lokeh, plus he has to bring a Korban. So again, now we still have a question, according to Rav Kahana, which is that he just gets Malkot, or he gets Malkot plus a Korban? Now, Gemara says, wait, can you really say that? Because what about the Nazir then? Michlau, the Nazir, Tamei, Niftar b'Malkot. That means that when you say by the Nazir gets Malkot, that statement means if you say Eino Lokeh by Sivat HaKabir Ones, it's not sufficient. That means when you say Lokeh by Nazir, means that it is sufficient. That Malkot will be sufficient by a Nazir Tamei b'Mezid. That's it. And the Gemara says, Vaha Karban K'tiv Be. What do you mean? A Nazir Tamei, whether he's Mezid, Shogeg, has to bring a Korban. So how could you say it's sufficient with Malkot? The Gemara says, and we've seen this a number of times, right, which is, Hotom Demaiti Karban Keheche Ditichol Alei Nizrut Betara. The Korban by Nazir Tamei has nothing to do with his violation of the Tumah. It has nothing to do with the fact that he was Metamei himself, and therefore he has to bring a Korban to Mimichaper. The Chatat over here is not a Chatat of Kapara, but rather it's a Chatat that allows him to start the new count, to start the new Nazirut B'Tahara. And that's what it's doing over here. So the Korban is not relevant over here. Yes, he brings a Korban, but that's not because the Malkot are not sufficient. Even if the Malkot are not, Malkot are sufficient, he still brings the Korban because the Korban is the trigger to restart the Nizirut and not a Kapara for what he did wrong beforehand. Again, this is not like Rabbi Elazar a Kapar, right? But against like the other opinions, which says that the Chatat by Nazir Tamei is not for Kapara. At this point in time, we have no conclusion to the position of Rav Kahana or the question that Rav Kahana posed. Rav Kahana poses a question, gives three possibilities, and here we lay out three or four brightot, and none of them bring us to a conclusion or about what the position of Rav Kahana is at this point. The one thing it might do is this last brightot might limit it to two out of the three possibilities, which is it can't be that he is not lokeh and doesn't bring a korban. I mean, it can't be zero. It has to either be he gets no malkot, does bring a korban, or he gets malkot and brings a korban. That's what it seems to be from this bright at the end. Now the Gemara continues. Amru Rabbonon Kamei de Rabbo. These three Rabbonon over here went to Rabbo, and they told him the question that Rav Kahana had posed to them. I mean, remember, they had been learning Shvuot in the base measures of Rabbo. Rav Kahana poses the question. Now they go back to Rabbo and ask the question to him. Amalohu. So he makes a statement here, Michlal. He says, wait, Rav Kahana seems to be suggesting Michlal Dechilo Achube V'Keidim Michayev. So now, this is Rabba's conclusion from, or his question about Rav Kahana's question. Rav Kahana says, or makes a statement, has a question, says, when there's Hatra'ah, what's the din? What's the din when we have Hatra'ah? Well, that implies when there is no Hatra'ah, Rav Kahana knows what the din is. What's the din when there's no Hatra'ah? Implies from that he would bring a Korban. That's what would be the answer. The answer is you bring a Korban. When there's no Hatra'ah, but Mezid, you bring a Korban. Rabba says, wait a minute, why is that so obvious to Rav Kahana? I don't even agree with that point. Meaning Rav Kahana's question revolves around the fact that he knows what the outcome is, or he knows what the case is by Mezid without Hatra. Now he's questioning about what should be when there's Mezid with Hatra. I don't think that he's right at all. Why? Because Rabbi says, Michlal de chi lo atribe, when there's no Hatra, v'ike edim, and there are edim here, that he's michayev. He would be chayev. He says, why? Kfirat devarim ba'almahu. That's just a saying things willy-nilly. That has no impact. His denial has no impact here. Alma, from this we conclude, Kasav Rabbo must be called a kofer b'mamon. Someone who denies a monetary obligation, sheyesh lav edim, that has edim, patur. Right, in that case, he would be patur. Patur from shvata pikadon. Why? Because his denial has no bearing. His denial has no impact over here. So Rabbo's conclusion, which is different than Rav Kahana, and this is why he's suggesting he doesn't understand the question of Rav Kahana, is that you have Shvat Pikadon. Shvat Pikadon comes when someone denies that they have a monetary obligation. Now what happens if I have Edim in the case as well? Now does my denial have any impact when there are Edim testifying that I do owe the money, or there are edim here that say that I am chayav or know something about the case? Well, obviously there are edim here that are chayav because there's a possibility of hatra'ah. The fact that they say lo atrubei, that they didn't give hatra'ah, but they do know that there's a mezid here. So Rabba says, well, let me tell you something. If there are edim here that know something about the case, his kfirah, his denial, has no impact. Because if these edim show up in Beit Din and testify, his denial is meaningless. So therefore, when he denies the case up now, he's just saying things that are willy-nilly. He can't change, he's not going to be able to change the outcome of the case. And therefore, his kfirah, his denial over here has no impact. and is no chiyu for shvata pikadon according to Rabba. And that's what Rabba says. A kofer b'mamon, someone who denies a monetary obligation, sheyeshel of edim, that there are edim somewhere who know that he really owes the money, patur. He's patur from shvata pikadon, because over here, his denial will have no impact on the case. The edim will come, testify, and he will be proven wrong, and therefore his denial is not impactful. Since his denial is not impactful, he doesn't bring shvata pikadon. As opposed to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, who believed or seemed to assume that when it came to no hatra'ah, you bring a korban. With hatra'ah, that's where I have a question. Well, the fact that he thinks by no hatra'ah, you bring a korban means that he thinks that even when you deny it and there are edim out there, you still bring the korban. You still bring the korban for shvata pikadon. We'll see that opinion later on in the Gemara. Now the Gemara is on to Rabba. Rabba made a statement here, a kofer b'mamon sheyesh lav edim patur. The Gemara is going to quote all these braitot to deal with the question of Rabba now. So Amar Rav Chanina, the Rabba, Tanya de Mesailach, we have a braita that supports your position, which is, v'kicheish ba, he denies it, prat, this comes to exclude someone who admits to one of the partners or one of the brothers. Vidnish Baal Sheker, he takes a false shvu'ah, prat, lulove b'shtar, v'lulove b'edim. This comes to exclude someone who borrowed with edim or borrowed with a shtar. So what do you see from here? You see that someone who it seems, or what we're thinking right now, is Nishbal Sheker, prat, lulove b'shtar, v'lulove b'edim. Here is a case where he took a shvu'ah, Allah Sheker, he's lying about the fact that he's not obligated, but he did it in a case below Vebeidim, where there are Edim who know the truth in the case. So since they know the truth in the case, and he's denying it, there is no Shvata Pikadon. That would prove Rabba's point. Exactly what Rabba just said, that when there are Edim out there, and you deny it, since your denial is not impactful, there is no Shvata Pikadon. Seems to be that the Breita is supporting this. So Amalei, Rabba himself says this Breita is not a support for me. Why? Imushumaha lotisayin. That if it's just because of that, it wouldn't be a misayaya, it wouldn't be helping me. Why? Because I'll tell you what the case is. Beomer, this is a case where he says, Leviti, velo Leviti be'edim. He said, I did borrow the money, but I didn't borrow with edim. Leviti, velo Leviti be'shtar. Says, I borrowed the money, but I didn't borrow it with a shtar. Somebody says, Mimai. How do you know that's the case here? How do you know that's what he's saying in this instance? How do you know that he's agreeing that he owes the money, just that he's not agreeing to the fact that there are edim in the case, or that there are that there was a shtar in the case? Now, just what his admission is going to make him chayav over here. So he's not denying the obligation, and therefore he won't be chayav in shvata pikadon. The reason he's patur from shvata pikadon here is because his denial has no bearing on the obligation. The obligation's still there. He agrees to the obligation. Just he says, it wasn't with edim, it wasn't with the shtar. His denial is what we call kfirat dvarim ba'alma. Is denying something that has no impact on the fact that he is obligated to pay the money here. So Gemara wants to know, how do you know that that's the case here? It says, Miktani, because of the other part of the Breita. What is the other part of the Breita says? It says, V'kichesh ba, that he denied it. Prat the model echad min achim el echad min shuftim. Comes to exclude a case where he admits to one of the brothers or to one of the partners. Now, Haile echad min achim hechi dami. What's the case where he admits to one of the brothers? Say that there are brothers that are splitting up our property, and there are three brothers, and he says to one of the brothers, listen, you do get a portion of this inheritance, part of it's yours, right? But then he says to the other brother, no, that doesn't belong to you. So he says, because he admits to one brother and denies the other brother, that doesn't make it into a case where he's not denying it. He's still denying the portion that belongs to that one brother. The other brother he's denying. Why should his admission to one brother have any impact or bearing on the other brother? So that doesn't make any sense. So what's the case here? Ella lav d'amrilei mitarvin yazaft. He says that they say to him, you borrowed money from both of us. Ve'amar lahu, and he responds to them, lo michad minayichu yazve. I borrowed from one of you. Tavelei kfirat dvarim be'alma. Again, it's a denial with no bearing or no impact. Because again, over here, he agrees that he owes the money. They just say, you owe the money to the two of us. And he comes along and says, I do owe the money, but I only owe it to one of you. So again, he has impact on who the money will go to. But in terms of the obligation, he's agreeing that he's obligated in the money. So now the Gemara says, umidereisha kfir dvarim. Since the first part of the Braita is not in a case where his denial is not impactful in terms of the obligation, because he agrees to the obligation, then seifanami kfirat devarim. So to the second half of the Braita is talking about a case where he's not denying the obligation, he's just denying some other fact in the case. And the denial of the other fact in the case doesn't change the fact that the obligation is there, and therefore he will not be chayav in shvata pikadon. So that's why Rabba says, this is no proof to me. This is no proof to me, because the denial in this case is not a denial of the obligation. It's simply a denial of some side fact. And a denial of a side fact or a side issue does not create a chiyuv of shvat pikadon. Everybody would agree to that. Not just me. Everyone agrees to that fact. So what's unique to me is if he denies the whole obligation, I say he's still patur. That you can't prove from this breita. So Gemara says, all right, let's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to know when is he chayav a karban? He's where there are no edim to the case. Odeh afterwards. And then he brings a karen, chomesh, asham. Right, with the admission, when there are no edim to the case. All right, Tashma, let's try this brighter now. Eino chayav al shigigata. He's not chayav al shigigata. This is what we quoted before. He's not chayav al shigigata greita. Umau chayav al zdona. What do you bring when you violate the Shvat of Hikadon on purpose or intentionally? Asham bekesef shkalim. You bring the korban asham, that's two shekel. My love, zdon edim. So it must be here. Why is he a zadon over here? Why is he considered intentional over here? Must be because they're edim to the fact. That's why he's a zadon. He's denying it in the face of edim. And what does it say? It says that even in the face of edim, you bring a korban. That would be against rabble. It says, no, zadon atzmal. Why do you have to say that zadon edim? Where in this brayta do you see that they're edim there? Maybe the zadon is that he knows that he's denying it. He knows the truth, and he's denying it anyway. The zadon here is that he intentionally denies something that he knows is not true. And that's why he's chayav. So that proves nothing about Rabbah's statement, because here we don't have any edim in this brayta. Tashma, let's try another brayta. This is a brayta that we had before. This is from earlier on. Hayu shtekite edim. It's the end of the Mishnah, one of the Mishnayot in Shvat Eidut, which is, if you have two kite edim, two groups of edim, kafra harishona, the first one denies that they have edut, and then the second one denies that they have edut. Shtehen chayavot. Both kitei edim are chayav in shvuat haedut. Mipnei shechola haedut litkayem b'shtehem. Because each one of them individually could have changed the case or could have impacted the case. So therefore, their denial over here, right, has impact, and they are chayav shvuat haedut. So Gemara says, and we saw this earlier in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Bet, which is bishlama shnia, or the kat shnia to chayev. The second kat, I understand why they're chayav, da kafra lo kat rishona. Once the first group has already denied edut, they're no longer able to testify. That means there's only one group left that can testify in this case, and that's the second kat. So for sure, they should be chayav. That I understand. Elo rishona, mai michayva. Why is the first kat of edim over here? Why are they chayav in this instance over here? Why are they chayav in this instance over here? Hakai moshnia. You still have the second kat edim. So they are not, even though they could impact the case, but if they don't impact the case, there's still a second edim who could make the case come out in the right way, and their lack of edut over here will not sway the case. Some Ravina, we saw this answer earlier, which is Ravina gives the answer, which is hachabai skinan. What's the case over here? Kagon shaita shnia bishat kfirat harishona krovim benishotehen. That the second kat edim were krovim through their wives at the time that the first ones were testifying. Vinishotehem gosusot. And their wives are on their deathbed, right? They are hanging on with their lives. Maudatema, what I would have thought, rov gosusim demita. Again, most people who are on their deathbed will not get up from the deathbed, they will pass away. And therefore, we should classify them as not being krovim anymore at that moment in time. Kamash malan, not that rov gosusim are not the mita, but kamash malan, that they're still alive. Hashta miat chayaninu, they're still alive now, velo shchivi, and they haven't passed away. Until they pass away, again, there will be no obligation over here. Until they pass away, there is no obligation on their side to give a dut, or there's no ability for them to give a dut, therefore the first kat will be chayav. After the first kat gives a dut, and then their wives pass away, then when the second kat comes and speaks, right, that is that second kat now will be chayav for the edut. So Gemara says, what's the proof over here? What's the proof, and what's the answer to this proof? So if you look, you say here, or the assumption of the Gemara up front, is that the first kat edim and the second kat edim are both going to be chayavim, they're both chayav for shvuat ha'edut in this instance. Now, why are they both chayav for shvut eidut in this instance? So the answer of the Gemara we'll see in a second. But the havamina of the Gemara is that they're chayav, even though they're not necessarily the impactful in this case. Even though the first set of eidim are not the sole eidim in the case, nevertheless, the havamina of the Gemara is that they're chayav over here. Well, that's exactly like Rabba's case. Rabba's case is here, when I deny my obligation when there are eidim standing outside, so I'm not impactful, right? But because there are eidim outside. So here we have by Shvuat Eidut, where I have Eidim who are saying denying Eidut, and they're not impactful to the case because there's another set of Eidim right behind them. And nevertheless, we're assuming that they're going to be Chayavin in Shvuat Eidut. So too by Rabba, we should say the same thing. We should say by Rabba also, even though your denial is not impactful over here because Eidim outside, nevertheless, you should be Chayav Shvuat HaPikadon. What's the answer of the Gemara? The answer of the Gemara is no. In that instance, you know what? You would not be chayav shvat ha'idut. In that instance, you wouldn't be chayav shvat ha'idut. We have to come up with this convoluted case of gosusin where they're krovim, because otherwise, you know, if there were second set of edim there, you would not be chayav, and then it is like what Rabba says. And that's the answer of the Gemara. The way we fix that, or we answered that Mishnah, how we explain that Mishnah, no longer is a problem for Rabba. Up front, it was a problem for Rabba, because we thought the havamina of that, you're chayav even when you're not impactful. Conclusion is, no, only when you're impactful, you chayav shvat eidut, and it's exactly what Rabba says by the case of shvat ha-pikadon. Right now, the Gemara says, all right, next try, tashma, balabayit shata'an tanat ganav bepikadon. We have a balabayit who claims that he is not chayav to return a pikadon because it was stolen from him. He's a shomer chinam, and a shomer chinam is patur if he was Gneva, for Gneva and Aveda. So he makes a claim that it was stolen from him. Vinishba, he takes a shvuah to that effect. Vihodeh, and then afterwards he admits that he was lying. Ubao Eidim, and then Eidim come. Now, what's the Gemara is going to say two different possibilities here. Im achalo bo Eidim hodeh, if before the Eidim appeared on the scene, he admitted to the fact that he was lying here, between Tanat Ganav, then Mishalem Karen Vichomesh, he pays the Karen and the Chomesh ve'asham. He's chayav in shvuat ha-pikadon because he admitted to taking a false shvuah. He has returned the principal, add a Chomesh, and bring an asham. And when it comes to the teforma or the kefel aspect, he's patur because kefel is a knas, and here is a modeh b'knas, and therefore he is patur. Im mishibau edim. On the other hand, after the edim come, he admits to lying. Then, hodeh, Mishalem Tashlume Kefil. First of all, he has to pay Kefil because the Eidim came and he's only Modeh afterwards. So once the Eidim already Mechayev him in the Kefil, he can't afterwards be Modeh afterwards. Now, Ve'asham, he still brings an Asham because he took a Shvat Pikadon. So there he already paired the Karen. The Kefil takes care of it. The Chomesh he doesn't pay. That's a Limud the Gemara is going to have in Baba Kama that you only pay a Chomesh when it's Birosho. When there's only Karen being paid. When there's more than Karen being paid, you don't pay the Chomesh. So over here, he pays Teshlumi Kefil plus Nasham. So now you have a case here where Eidim showed up. And when the Eidim showed up, again, his admission at this point in time is no longer impactful. His admission has no impact here. And yet, or nevertheless, he still has to bring a Korban Asham in this case. So here you have a case. This is what Rava says. Rava says, I have Eidim in the case. I have Eidim in the case, and he's admitting to it. And when he admits to it, he still brings a korban. Why should he bring a korban asham here? According to Rabbo, if you have Eidim in the case and you admit to it, or you take a shvuah, a false shvuah, you have no impact on the case because you're going to be chayav in the end because of the Eidim. So why should you bring an asham over here? Gemara says, Hochanami kidravino. We have to explain this case over here also as a case of like Ravino. So what's the case like Ravino over here? So now, as she points out, what does it mean, like Ravina? Not that they have to be gosusot, but it has to be at the time that the Eidim witnessed the transaction, or they were available, they saw him keeping the pikadon in his house, and he testifies, or he takes the shvuah, they were psulim at that time. The Eidim were psulim at that time when he takes the shvuah. Since they were psulim at the time that he took the shvuah, therefore, his shvuah is impactful, because the Eidim could not testify and could not impact the case. Later on, they become Eidim Ksheirim, and when later on they become Eidim Ksheirim, they come and testify in the case. Now, we do have a problem here, and that problem is that generally we require that Eidim be Ksheirim from the moment they witness something until the time they testify. Over here, it sounds like they witnessed the event, right, at a time they were psulim, and now they're coming later on to testify. How could they testify event? How could they become Ksheirim at a later period of time? So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks this question over here, and he says, from here you must conclude. He says you're going to have an interesting conclusion from here, which is that in our case here, even though they were psulim at the time that he was gonev the item and he took the shvuah, time that he takes the shvuah and he holds the pikadon, and they know the pikadon's in his possession, but because they're edim psulim at that time, fine. So his shvuah goes through and he brings an asham. Later on, they become edim ksherim. You know why they're ksherim? Because what are they testifying about? Are they with all they have to testify about now is they're not testifying about something that happened in the past. They're not testifying about the fact that he took a shvuah, right, when there was a pikadon in his hand. You know what they have to testify about? That there's a pikadon in his hand now. As long as the pikadon is still in his hand, then we know for certain that he took the shvuah. He was lying back then. Because the fact that he has the pikadon now means that he also had it back then, and he's lying. So they actually don't have to testify about the moment that he took the shvuah. They just have to testify about what's currently true. And if it's currently true that he has a pikadon in his possession, then he lied beforehand when he took the shvuah. So therefore, the edut, even though they were psulim when he took the shvuah, their testimony is about something that happened after the fact, or something that happened at a later stage, because all they're affirming now is that he has a pikadon. That affirmation is enough to prove that he's a thief, because he has someone else's pikadon, which he claims he never had in his possession. So that... Well, if they're unable to testify, you're saying, but their inability to testify is not because they're not good edim, it's because of their relationship to each other. And so that's an exogenous psul, and not because they're actually psulei edim. But I don't know why that should make a difference, because they have to be, the edim who are coming to testify at any point in the case have to be kasherim, meaning kasherim in all senses. Not just that they could testify, but that they witnessed it in a way that would allow them to testify in the case. The fact that they, when they witnessed it, they weren't able to testify in the case makes them psulim. I'm not sure you can differentiate like that. It's an interesting suggestion. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know if it would work. It's an interesting suggestion. So the Gemara says, the suggestion of Ravino solves our problem over here. So then, Amarle Ravino the Ravashi. Tashma. Let's try another question here, another braito for Rabbo. Chamura mi mena shvuata pikadon. Shvuata pikadon is more chamur than shvuata edut. Chayvin al zdona makot. Because if you do it intentionally, you get makot. Vashigigata asham bekesef shkalim. And if you do it unintentionally, you bring the korban. Mi dekamar loke. But the fact that you get makot, michlal dika edim. There has to be edim in the case here, because there's makot. Bikamar oshigigata sham kesef shkalim. And despite the fact that there are edim in the case, if you did it unintentionally, then you would bring a korban. So this is a problem for Rabbo. So Amar Lahu, Rav Mordechai bar Mina dahayi. Wait, so Rav Mordechai submits back to Ravina, you can't bring this braita. Why? Because we already had Rav Kahana say about that braita, bar Mina dahayi. Right, that this braita, don't quote me this braita, because it's a problematic braita. You've got the text misquoted. Adamar Luhu, Rav Kahana, Anan Taninala. I learnt this braita. Vahochi Taninala. This is the way the braita should read. Should read, Echad Zdona, Ve'echad Shkigata, Asham Bekesef Shkalim. Doesn't matter whether it's Zadon or Shkogeg, you bring a korban. And once you've done that, we have no clue whether there's Hatra'ah or not Hatra'ah. And so, it won't do any good for you over here. It won't help us over here that they're edim. We don't know if they're edim here. There's nothing in this that indicates that there are edim in the case here, and therefore it's no proof for or against the rabble. Tashma. Another try. This is the next braita that we brought in the previous sugya. Lo imamart bin azir tameh shekein loke. Tumar bishvuat ha-pikadon shein loke. Well, if you want to talk about nazir tameh, gets malkot. Shvuat ha-pikadon, you do not get malkot. Hei chidami. What's the case here? Idelek edim. If there are no edim in the case, am I loket? Then why is there any habamita to get malkot over here? Malkot only appear when you have edim in the case. Elabshito, dik edim. Must be the case is a case of edim. Viktani. And it says, tomar bishvata pikadon, she'eno loket. Ah, so it says by shvata pikadon that you do not get malkot. Malkahu deloloki. You don't get malkot, aval korban, mighty, but you do bring a korban. Same thing that we tried before, we inferred in the braita. But with the braita, we suggested that you do not get malkot, but you do bring a korban. The other suggestion of the braita was that, but you don't, not only do you bring a korban, but you also bring malkot. Both of those will be problematic for Rabbo. Because now we have a case with edim, and despite the fact that they're edim here, you have to bring a korban. And that's what the Gemara says, tiyufto de Rabbo, tiyufto. This is a problem or a strong question against Rabbo here, because now we have a braita that is suggesting that the even when the face of edim, you still bring a korban, or you still are chayav for kfirat, mamon in the face of those edim, and you still chayav to bring the korban despite the fact that they're edim in this case. Now, who is the opposing view to Rabbah? That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kufir b'mamon sheyesh alav edim, chayav. Even if you deny the obligation when there are edim, you are chayav. Now, why? We're going to see in a second. Bishtar patur. But if there's a shtar outstanding on the loan, then you're patur. So Amar Papa, my time is the Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position over here? Edim avide demaite. Edim die. So therefore, when he denies the obligation, it might be that his denial will impact the case because the edim may never show up. They might pass away. They may disappear. Shtar hamanoch. The shtar is always there. It's a piece of paper. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't die. So therefore, in the case, the shtar will always be there. So his denial is not impactful. It says, what do you mean? Amarle, Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, the Rav Papa, shtar nami avi demirkas. I mean, true. It's not a living being that it dies, but it's still, a shtar can disappear. A shtar can be burnt up, it can be ripped up, it can be destroyed. I mean, a shtar is not a permanent fixture where that if you admit to something when there's a, or you deny something when there's a shtar standing, it doesn't mean that the shtar is going to show up, because we don't know. The shtar doesn't last forever, it doesn't have to be around. So that can't be the reasoning. Ela Omer Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, I'll tell you. Hainu taimi de Rav Yochanan. This is the reasoning behind Rav Yochanan. Mishum tahave shtar shibud karkaot. A shtar comes, when you have a shtar, what does a shtar do? What's the difference between milve al peh versus milve b'shtar? A milve al peh, the person or the is obligated to repay the money. When you have a milve al b'shtar, milve b'shtar now puts a lien on all of his outstanding property. And if you have a lien on all his outstanding property, that means that the shtar is a shibud on the karka. Ve'ein mevin korban al kfirat shibud karkaot. And you do not bring a korban with a denial of something that deals with shibud karkaot. Now this is we're going to see, the Gemara is going to have a question about this in a second, but this is a general principle we're going to see in Shvuot in general, that is, that Shvuah does not apply when it comes to karka. Right? There's no such thing as a Shvuah, you don't say a Shvuah, we don't have a Shvuah by karkaot. You don't take a Shvuah when it comes to any obligations by karka, by Shvuah, the dayanim, karka is not involved. So over here, if you transfer, you make shtar equal karka, then in this case also, you're not going to take a shvuah when it comes to a shtar, or you're not going to be chayav for the shvuah when you have a shtar here. So that will be the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Ain ochanami, that your denial is not impactful here because of the shtar, but despite that fact, you're chayav by edim, but by shtar you're not, because the shvuah just doesn't work. By shvuah takarkot, it just does, it's not meaningful. You don't take a shvuah in that instant. Itmar, mashbia edei karka. So when it comes to being mashbia edei karka, something where someone had stolen in some piece of land, and then there must be the edim, right, about the fact that they knew edut about this circumstance. So, plige Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar. Chadamar chayav, chadamar patur. One of them says you're chayav in this case, one of them says you're patur. Tistayim, the Rabbi Yochanan, damar patur. Let's conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says patur. Mi da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, o kofer b'mamon, she'esh alav edim, chayav, shtar patur. Uche de Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. And like the way Rav Huna b'rei de Yeshua explained it, the reason that you are patur for shvuat ha-pikadon by the case of shtar is because it's a kfirat shibud karkaot. So too by shvuat ha-edut. If we're dealing with edei karka, also over there you're going to be patur from shvuat ha-edut. So let's conclude that Rabbi Yochanan is consistent in his shita, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is also the one who says patur in our case over here. Samarle Rabbi Yirmiya the Rabbi Abao, Lema Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar bepluktad Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanan kamiflage. Let us suggest that the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar over here actually is premised on the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, who we quoted before. If you remember, this Rabbi Eliezer was the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. We needed a nafkamina between them. Here is this nafkamina, which is the Tnan. Hagozel sadeh mechaveiro, someone who steals a field from his friend, v'shatfa hanar, and then it got flooded out by the river. Chayav lamid no sadeh. He has to replace the field. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer believes that there is such thing as hashava when it comes to karka. Karka is nigzelet. Karka can be stolen, and therefore you have an obligation to return the karka. You can't just say arishal chalif fanecha. On the other hand, chamim armim omer lo arishal chalif fanecha. Since karka is in a nigzelet, it never left the possession of the original owner. If it never left the possession of the original owner, then you could say, take your field back. It's right there. It never left your possession. Whatever happened to it happened under your control. What are they arguing about? What is that? That's our case here. It's from Shvat HaPikadon, which is Rabbi Elazar Darish Ribuye Miyute V'Kicheish Be'amito. He denies to his friend, Riba. That's a general statement. B'Pikadon U'Btzumet Yad. Right, then they have the items that he's denying, the monetary obligations, whether it's a Pikadon, or it's a loan, whatever, or it's money that's owed. miyet. That's a, right, those are mifurat, those are detailed description. O mikol ha-shei shava. Now we have another general statement, chazar v'riba. So riba, umiyet to riba. This is a ribo, miyot to ribi, riba kol. And that means that we include everything, ma riba. So what do we include here? Riba kol mile. We include everything here. Everything has to be returned. Everything has hashava. My miyet, what do we exclude in this case? Miyet, shtarot. The only thing that's excluded is shtarot. Shtarot, which are not only simply, they're shtars just for a rayo. It's just a proof of a transaction. It's not something that, right, has any inherent value to it. Since it doesn't have any inherent monetary value to it, therefore it's not classified as requiring hashava, or doesn't, you don't have this, you don't have this issue, you don't take shvuot on these cases. Rabbanan darshe klal uprate. And the Rabbanan say that's klal uprat. V'kichesh v'amito klal. Bikoton or b'tzumet yad or begazel prat or mikol hashei shava alav chazaru klal klal prat or klal iata adan elo kena prat. What is the prat? Kena prat. My prat mufurash davar mitteltel, something that is a movable item, right? It's non-real property. V'gufo mamon, and it has inherent value. Av kol davar mitteltel v'gufo mamon, has to be a movable item and have inherent value. Yatzu karkaot sheinu mitteltel, that excludes karka which is not movable. Right, yatzu avadim shukshu lekarkaot. Avadim are excluded because they're like karka, means eved kanani, where you say nachaltem otam livnechem achrayim, that you'll pass them down like property. So they're like property, and therefore they're excluded, not because they're not metaltel, but because they're like property. Yatzu shtarot shafu pish metaltelin. So shtarot are excluded even though they're movable items. Ain't gufan mamon. They have no inherent value to them, and therefore they're excluded from shvuata pikadon here. So now the Gemara's assumption over here is they're actually. There are two points or two arguments that are taking place. One is whether there's such a concept called hashava, that you must return gzela when it comes to gzela takarka. That's one machlokas. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. When you steal karka, do you have to return it? There is a second machlokas, which is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And that is when you have shvata pikadon or shvata edut, does it apply to karka? So that's another machloket, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, what we seem to say is patur, and Rabbi Elazar says chayav, that it applies. What the Gemara is trying to do is equate the two here. That, well, if you hold that there is such a thing as gzela by karka, then it makes sense that if you don't testify in the case, that you are withholding edut that would be impactful over here. And number two is, if karka is an gzelet, then also by shvata pikadon, when you make a denial, your denial is also impactful because you stole something that you need to return. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, okay, the two should be correlated. And that's what the Gemara just suggested, that the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan should be similar to the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. So that's what the Gemara says, man de mechayev ki Rabbi Elazar. The one who says chayav in our case here, by shvata edut or shvata pikadon, holds like Rabbi Elazar, that there is a din of hashava by gzela. Man de patar, the one who says patur ki Rabbanan, holds like the Rabbanan, right, that there is no hashava b'gzela. That means that karka ain't an exelet. If it's ain't an exelet, there's no shvata pikadon, there's no shvata idut. So lo, that doesn't have to be the case. Man di mechayev ki Rabbi Eliezer. You're right. The one who holds your chayav, they hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that your chayav. The reason your chayav is because karka is nitan hishavon. If it's nitan hishavon, then you can be chayav, shvata pikadon, shvata idut. Uman de patar, the one who says your patur, amalecha b'ha, afilu Rabbi Eliezer modeh. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees. I'm not just saying according to Chachamim. I agree with Rabbi Elazar. Why? The Rachman Amar Mikol, because the Riboy, the second Riboy, is not a complete Riboy. The second Riboy says, it says when we said before that is V'kichesh Bamito. Then we had the Pratim, and then it says Mikol Asher Yishava. So Mikol doesn't mean Kol, but Mikol, some of those items, not all items. So Mikol V'lo Hakol, some items V'lo Hakol. And that portion of the riboy is said by Yishava. Mikol asher Yishava. Not all items are subject to shvua. All items are subject to hashava or hishavon. Everything can be returned. That means it can be nigzelet, but not all of them are subject to hashava, meaning that shvua. That means that you could have, and now the Gemara is breaking this connection between the fact that just because karka is nigzelet doesn't mean that you would have to take a shvua on the karka. Now, if you remember back in the Gemara asked, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva when it came to the Oin, when they compared shvat edut to shvat pikadon? The first answer of the Gemara was by shvat edei karka. Shvat edei karka, as Rabbi Elazar says, you will be chayav. And Rabbi Akiva says, you would not be chayav. And we know here, we see Rabbi Elazar is mechayev because he thinks there is gzela. Then the Gemara said, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you're patur, Right? What are you going to say about that? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you're patur, he says even according to Rabbi Elazar, you're patur from Shua. So then the Gemara moved to Edei Kenas after that was the nafkamina between them. But they were quoting this Gemara over here when they were talking about the nafkamina between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Amara Papa, Mishmei Durova, Matnita Nami Deiko. Our Mishnah is also Meduyak, Diktani, because our Mishnah gives examples of Shvuat HaPikadon. It says, Ganafta et Shuri, you stole my shore. V'huomer lo ganafta, and he denies stealing it. Mashbiachani, take a Shvuat to that effect, V'amar main Chayav. V'ilu ganafta et avdi lo ktani. How come it doesn't give the case of you stole my Eved? My time, la mishum de eved it kish the karkaot, because eved is compared to karkaot, ve mi vin karbano, kviat shibat ki karkaot. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is upholding this position, or this position of Rabbi Yochanan, that when it comes to kviat shibat karkaot, there is no shvuah, because the Mishnah gave the example of the shore, but not eved, as opposed to in the case when it came to killing, my shore killed your shore, or my shore killed the eved, it gave both examples. How come it left out the example of eved by the case of ganafta? Must be because there would be no Shvuat HaPikadon in that case. Samara Papi Mishmei Derava Ima Seifa. What are you going to do with the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah says Zaklau Kol Mishalemo Piatzmo Chayav. Anybody who is paid based on their own admission is Chayav. Right? That means that it's a case of a monetary obligation. Sheinu Mishalemo Piatzmo. Someone doesn't pay on his own admission, meaning a knas patur. Zaklau Letuye Mai. That klau is coming to include what? Lav Letuye Ganavta Et Avdi. Maybe that comes to include the case of Ganavta Et Avdi. So from there we have no proof. From our Mishnah we have no proof. We have no. It's not determinant as to whether it can be kfirat shibat karkot. You can have shvuat pikadon or not have shvuat pikadon because it could be included from the klal at the end. It's included in the klal at the end, and we have no proof to the position of Rabbi Yochanan that you are partur when it comes to kfirat shibud karkot. So again, today we had three main opinions that are important here. We had the question of Rav Kahana when it comes to mezid by shvuat pikadon. What is the obligation when there's hatra'ah? We brought a lot of brightot, but we were inconclusive. The second part of the Gemara was about Rabba's statement. Rabba's statement says there is no such thing as kfirat pikadon. There's no such thing as shvuat pikadon in the face of edim. And your patur, the Gemara brought numerous brightot, finally came to a bright that left Rabba be tiyufta. The last opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even in the face of edim, when you have shvuat pikadon, you are chayav. Because you can be impactful in the case. It's not going to guarantee that you will be, but you could be impactful. The time that you're not is by shtar, not because you're not impactful in that case, but because shtar deals with shibud karkaot. Because of shibud karkaot, there is no shvua by shibud karkaot, and there's no shvua by karka in general, by these cases of shvuat ha'edut, shvuat ha'pikadon, according to Rabbi Yochanan. There's a position, Rabbi Lazar, who disagrees with him in this case. And we also mentioned the side machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim about whether there's hashavata gzela when it comes to karka and gneva. Is karka an gzelet or not an gzelet? Rabbi Chachamim says it's not an gzelet, and Rabbi Lazar says it is an gzelet. So those are the main opinions that we touched on today in terms of what the Gemara is trying to establish with Shvata Pikado. All right, we'll stop over here.